The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nail in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen, but still believed." The Gospel of the Lord. A couple of years ago on Divine Mercy Sunday, I had the privilege to concelebrate Mass with Pope Francis as a missionary of mercy in Rome. And the Gospel, as you know, on Divine Mercy Sunday is the Gospel we've just heard. And Pope Francis talked about something that I hadn't seen in any of the Fathers of the Church, which has particular personal significance for me. He said, "Thomas called Didymus, Thomas the twin," it's an identical twin. What Pope Francis would then say resonated. He said, "We have no idea who the twin of Thomas is." And he said, "Therefore, it would be spiritually beneficial for all of us to treat ourselves as Thomas's twin, just like twins emulate each other, just like twins learn from each other, just as the other twin is always the control for basically any experiment you ever want to do. So Thomas is the control for our growth and faith." He said, "Use Thomas, couple yourself to Thomas as a twin, to learn from his strengths and to learn from his mistakes." And that's what we can do today on the Feast of St. Thomas. I've always thought it's one of the great sad ironies of Christian history that this apostle is more known for the adjective doubting than for the adjective saint. Like, it would be fine if you were to say doubting David Hume. It would be fine if you were to say doubting sophists. But we look at Thomas as one who is a doubter, despite the fact that he left everything to follow Jesus, the fact that he believed in him enough to make him his treasure, the fact that he was willing to die for Jesus and in fact did. And yet, not Thomas martyr, it's not Thomas disciple. It's Thomas the doubter that we can focus on. And when we look at his doubts were not unique. We remember what the three women were doing when they were going to the tomb on Easter Sunday morning. They were going to anoint a corpse. They didn't believe he was risen from the dead. We know what happened with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. They doubted too, which is why they were unable to recognize that anonymous wayfarer journeying with them. Because they just didn't take Jesus' words seriously that on the third day he would rise. The other apostles, that first time Jesus appeared in the upper room, after having heard the words of Mary Magdalene and the others, "We have seen the Lord," after having heard Clopas and the other disciple recount what had happened on the road, still didn't believe. They still doubted. And that's why St. Mark tells us through St. Peter that when Jesus appeared to them in the upper room for the first time, he rebuked them for their lack of faith. Pretty much all of them except Our Lady doubted. And yet it's Thomas who earns the adjective. But we can learn from our twin. Not about doubt, but about faith. And how even our doubts, when we take them to the Lord, can be flipped right side up into even greater reasons for faith. There are three things St. Thomas says in Sacred Scripture. We learn something about faith from each. First, happened during the Last Supper, when Jesus was saying in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to the Father. Where I'm going, you know the way." When we hear those words today, they're a little bit confusing because of the elliptical way in which St. John recalls Jesus speaking. If that was the real way it came on out, it would have been confusing for them as well. What are you talking about, Jesus? Whereas St. Peter often was the one inspired by the Father to speak out with courage, confessing Jesus the Messiah, the Son of the living God, asking the Lord, "To whom shall we go?" Thomas had a similar courage. He was the one who spoke forward and said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" It wasn't that he doubted Jesus' words, but he didn't know what they meant. He's an apostolic model of what St. Anselm later would call fides querens intellectum, faith seeking understanding. He knew that he needed to engage Jesus to understand and assimilate what he was saying. Jesus taught in parables so that people would have to be engaged. It was a test of the soil of a listener. If they didn't understand something, would they work with it to try to understand it, or would they just let it slip through the other ear? Thomas was not satisfied letting it slip through the other ear and boldly asked. St. John Henry Newman used to say, 1,000 questions don't constitute a single doubt. And the whole method of St. Thomas Aquinas was to start with all the objections to any truth of the faith, some of them very strong objections, and then respond to them one by one. St. Thomas first shows us today that in faith it's important for us to have questions and not to be afraid to bring those questions to the Lord. You know, I presume Father Gregor Mendel and Dr. Jerome Lejeune, if they are, as we pray, seeing the beatific vision, that they're asking Jesus, "Where you get the Y chromosome?" I'd love to know where Elijah's body went before the general resurrection. I'd also love to have a much greater biochemical understanding of the mystery of transubstantiation. What exactly? There are lots of questions that we would have about the how-to. But these questions, rather than undermining our faith, strengthen our faith, because we know that there is an answer, even if we with our finite minds can't yet grasp it. Thomas shows us that faith seeking understanding. We need to have those questions and not be, how could I say, supinely docile. We need to be docile to the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit, if we're docile to him, fills us sometimes with these questions, so that in pursuing the answers, we grow in faith. Second thing that Thomas said that we can learn from is what occurred in John 11 when Martha and Mary sent word to Jesus that their brother Lazarus was ill at the point of death. And the disciples tried to talk Jesus out of it, because they thought that it would be an ambush from those who were trying to get Jesus arrested and slaughtered. And while many were trying to dissuade Jesus, it was Thomas who spoke up, knowing that the rumors were probably true, and saying, "Let us go so that we too may die with him." What do we learn? Faith, if it's real, always has to be put into practice. It has to be put into action. And the ultimate consequence of our faith is a willingness to lay down our life for him who, a week after Thomas said that, would lay down his life for Thomas and the whole world. In the early church, as we know, catechumens couldn't be baptized until they were ready for martyrdom, because martyrdom would come for so many. And so it would be delayed until somebody recognized, okay, this is a consequence of our faith, and I am now open to the help that God will give to follow that. Each day, like St. Thomas, we can learn from him that practical consequence of our faith. And we say many times over, let us go so that we might too die with him. Die to ourselves, die to our ego, die to our self-reliance, die to our desire to be in control, desire to be noticed, desire, we could cite Mary Duval and all the aspects of the litany of humility if we wished, but die to that old Adam in us so that Christ might rise, to go the way of the grain of wheat, to lose our life so as to save it. It's the second great lesson our spiritual twin teaches us today. And the third is about faith in Jesus' resurrection. Thomas, as we know, wasn't there the first time. And he had difficulty with faith, believing the women, believing Clopas and the other disciple who rode to Emmaus, and believing the witness of the other 10 apostles that they too had seen the Lord. But while Thomas had his doubts, they were mixed with faith. He's a proto-scientist. He was beginning to think in that time what would be the sign that it was really Jesus, because everybody was testifying that he didn't look the same. For Thomas, that would be his wounds, which were the telltale sign that it was Jesus crucified and risen, but also that those wounds had a special significance as the signs of the Lord Jesus' love. Thomas, if it would be the real Jesus, would recognize him for those wounds. And he would want to probe them, because those would be the direction likewise of his life. So when he finally came and Jesus said, "Place your finger here, place your hand here," Thomas, with incredible faith, responded just like the apostle Nathanael did after Jesus said, "I saw you praying under the fig tree." Doubtless, the future Bartholomew was there pondering who the Messiah was and how long it would be for him to come. And when Jesus mentioned the fig tree, that's where Nathanael exploded by saying, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." So Thomas, after having prayed through what the resurrection would be like, thinking about Jesus' words, finding them too good to be true that he would rise on that third day, said he would find Jesus in the womb. And as soon as Jesus said, "Probe," that's when St. Thomas let rip the most beautiful theological statement of all time: "My Lord and my God." Pope Francis, that same homily a couple years ago, looked at it in a different angle. A lot of the times when we use this phrase, for example, during the elevation at Mass, we're adoring Jesus in his divinity, "My Lord, my God," we ponder. But this isn't bread. This isn't even just another person. This is God. Pope Francis pondered the my. He said a lot of the times we let go of that possessive adjective. It fades into the background in view of the majesty of our Lord and God. But he said that too was inspired by the Holy Spirit. My. But there was a sense of belonging to God. There was a sense of possessiveness. There was a sense of a holy jealousy mirrored on God's holy jealousy that we belong to each other, and that just as much as God was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, so Thomas was personally receiving that mystery within and making it anew the true characteristic of his life. And it was after the resurrection in which he was able to tie everything back together, all his questions, all his desire to die to himself, so that he would be able to find himself by clinging verbally and existentially to his Lord and God. Three great lessons from our twin, and all of them converge here in the Mass. It's here at Mass where we bring the questions that we have. Why, Lord? All this woman needs is a little blank, and she can't get it from anyone. Why, Lord? Why this thing that's happened in my life? Why this thing happened in my family's life? We bring our questions here. Second, it's here that we die and present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, our spiritual worship. We come here to die so that Christ might rise. It's here that we receive Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity, the risen body with all his wounds. We learn how to hide ourselves in his wounds. And it's here that we make him evermore ours. St. Thomas Aquinas, in his beautiful hymn Adorate Devote, focused on the Eucharistic faith of St. Thomas. Plagas sicu Thomas non intueor. I will not see wounds like Thomas. Deum tamen meum te confiteor. Yet, my, I forgot, Sister Talitha's back. I missed you, sister. My God, nevertheless, I confess you to be Fac me tibi semper magis credere. Make me always have more and more faith. In te spem habere te deligere. And also to hope in you and to love you more and more. Through St. Thomas, may we, meeting our Lord and God here, believe in him more, hope in all the promises he makes now that he's fulfilled this greatest one, and love him as Thomas did. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.